Welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. We've got Keith Wilson as our guest here. We actually got about 3 or 4 minutes, so we're going to go into another short break. But, yeah, to finish up in the next couple of minutes, the point we were just discussing, do you remember where you had left off?
We were talking about where oil came from. We were talking about refilling oil wells.
Yeah.
You know, there is some indication, and it's hard to know, that oil wells are refilling. Now, it may be you've got this swimming pool full of oil that we're pumping it out at, 20 gallons a day, and it's refilling at 1 gallon a day. It's not at all clear that they're all refilling or that they're all refilling at a rate sufficient for our pumping, okay? But it looks like there's refilling. And another issue, probably a more important issue, is water. Fresh water for people. Fresh water, it's also believed, is rainwater filters down to limestone, and that's how it gets to the aquifers, like the Ogallala Aquifer. There's a real good scientist, Lance Endersby, in Australia, that said, he's a hydrologist. He says, no, deep water, because the middle of Australia is a deep aquifer. The deep water is not being refilled. It comes from down below also. And I think two-thirds of the world's population depends on aquifer water for their fresh water. They need wells. And most of those wells are declining in volume. And as they get less and less, the bad minerals like cadmium and other things are showing up. And they're becoming pollutants to those people. So right now the issue of forces coming from below that give us methane, that give us oil, that give us fresh water aren't being considered. And probably the first one to hit people smack in the head in China and India and Africa is going to be the lack of fresh water. Or at least it's certainly something that should be looked at, because it's not clear that fresh water in aquifers is really surface water over time.
So, I guess in that sense, there is a connection between Earth expansion and, oil supply replenishment. It is coming from deep inside, and it's probably inexhaustible.
It's so probably, at least for mankind, it's inexhaustible.
Right, as far as, Now, so would you say that the... that they actually know this?
No, I don't think they know this. I think the petroleum geologists are the same. Now, you've got a couple of things. Oil shale, oil sands. You know, it's nice to have a cap so you can have just a swimming pool that you can pump out sweet stuff. But up in Canada, they've got trillions of barrels of oil that's gone into sand. So to get it out, you gotta dig it out. You can't just pump it out, and it's a mess. The same thing we got oil shale, where it's in porous shale rock in Utah and places like that. But it's more expensive to get out than pumping Arabian sweet light crude. And so it's a cost issue. And it's partly an environmental issue, too, because what to do with this mass of rock. But there is just huge masses of oil now. And I think there's ways of finding different locations, which I'm going to point out in Greece in a month or so. And that goes back to what I found that I plotted on my website for people to see. I think the Earth is expanding along four key joints and spreading apart. And if you plot most of the major oil wells, you'll see that they are aligning with those expansion joints when plotted with great circles. So, do I expect them to pay a lot of attention when I get there? No, but at least I'll give it a shot.
Interesting. Okay, when we get back, I want to talk a little bit about subduction some more and, how your alternative explanation works in with this. Okay, guys, stick with us. We'll be right back.
Knob Creek Gun Range invites you to come out and support the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, the country's biggest machine gun and military gun show. The three-day event is October 12th, 13th, and 14th at Knob Creek, Kentucky, where the public can participate in the high-power action. Thousands attend this semi-annual event. This is a must-see for all gun enthusiasts and collectors. There will be hundreds of vendors for every type of firearm and accessory available in the marketplace today. Go to www.machinegunshoot.com for all the scheduled events and directions to Knob Creek, Kentucky. On-site camping facilities available, or go to www.machinegunshoot.com for hotel and motel accommodations. Only $10 admission fee per day, $5 for 12 and under. Knob Creek Gun Range is also open year-round for your shooting enjoyment. Call 502-922-4457 for more information, or visit www.machinegunshoot.com.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Did you know that one goal of international communism was to get our young people's mind off religion by getting them onto sex? By destroying the morals of the younger generation, America would eventually become ripe for revolution without understanding why communism wanted to make young people soft and easily controlled. Have we witnessed this transformation of our young people away from God and the Bible to immorality? We'd like to help you understand how these things are coming to pass by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736 to request your subscription. Call now. Operators are standing by to receive your call.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Okay, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. We're joined today by Keith Wilson, talking about the expanding Earth. Again, I hate to say theory because I don't think it's a theory. I think it's a fact. But anyway, so how do you feel a subduction fits into this? Is it just areas that are weak in the crust where magma from underneath is boiling up, but it's not actual plates that are moving around?
Well, if you take there are deep grooves, deep trenches, around, especially around the margins of the Pacific Ocean. You know,
yeah,
if you go to NASA plate tectonics on Google or anything like that, you'll get the standard story. The standard story is standard; it's pretty clear. But there are trenches, 19,000 miles of trenches. Versus 92,000 miles of mid-ocean ridges. Those trenches around the Pacific Ocean, they are deep. So the assumption is, and a guy named Hugo Benioff did some seismographs and took earthquakes, and you could see that there are some earthquakes below them forming what's known as a zone. So people say, look at that zone. That could be the escalator going down. So they didn't find the escalator, but they just assumed the escalator. Now, if you look at most of those zones were in World War II areas, and you go, Well, did you ever see one of the World War II planes or ships being pulled down into that like quicksand? It'd have to be like quicksand. You're talking 13 inches a year have to be going down into those zones. They've never seen anything going down. They've never placed big objects and watched them go down. They've never measured it, so it's based on a theory. Now, something has happened to cause those creases, those trenches. Some theory is if methane or mass is rising up, it's going to cause a weak zone and cause a depression. I don't know exactly what subduction zones are, and nobody does, but you find that with all this ocean that's supposed to be going in, and there should have been massive amounts of frosting on the cake left behind, the light stuff. It's not there. If you go down to those zones, you find river sediments from the ocean, from the land masses running off. You don't find being subducted oceans. So what right. they are is not completely known, but the expanding Earth community doesn't believe anything's going down it. There's a Russian wrote a book called Eduction saying they're expanding there too. It's coming out of those zones. So there's a number of different things, and nobody's got a handle on it. But to say because we don't have a handle on it, therefore the Earth is of constant size, is just a bad science at best.
Yeah, there's so much that they really don't know. They absolutely are clueless. They really don't know.
They don't know, and they're not doing the experiments.
Right, but they want you to think they know, but they don't. They really. I mean, we don't even know what gravity is yet. I'm reading this fascinating book right now. It's an alternative view on the theory of everything, and this guy is asking some real hard hitting questions. You know, the reason why we're not getting really anywhere with this is because apparently our primary assumptions aren't even true.
Well, they can't, and this goes back. That's why I look at the expanding Earth, figuring out what's happening with the Earth, is the linchpin to figuring out everything else. When Newton figured out his gravity formulas, he says, I have no clue why this works, why something so distant would pull. The math works, but don't ask me why. So it's not Newton's fault.
So we really haven't progressed since him. He took us way ahead. You know, he worked out some great mathematics that somewhat work, but it does not explain the why, the how. You know, what is gravity? We still don't know to this day.
In fact, there's a kind of cutting through the chaff on this whole thing. The main theories tend to fall in line one way, and gravity being a pulling force. There's nothing that says gravity is a pulling force. We just assume it is.
Okay? Right.
It could be a pushing force. You know, magnets are attracting pulling force, and they're much stronger than gravity. But the opposite theory to Big Bang and even Einstein relativity is the steady state universe, which says mass is being created, which goes back to the ether theories that there is these particles or energy that are pushing towards the center of major bodies and pushing us down on it. And any time you see things about redshift, or if you hear about zero-point energy, or if you hear about Tesla's electromagnetics, they never talk about it the same way, but basically they are all associated with a theory of pushing gravity, not pulling gravity.
You know, that's a very good point, because if you look at a magnet, let's say the North Pole of a bar magnet, that same side of the magnet that pulls is also pushing at the same time. It depends which side of another magnet you face toward it.
Yes.
If you put the South Pole, it'll pull. You push the North Pole, and it'll push.
Right.
And so it's pulling and pushing at the same time.
Yes.
Now,
the only way to really prove what's happening is to find some force that nullifies gravity. Put it underneath you, it's not happening. Put it over you, it's not happening.
Yeah,
no, they can't do that. So they don't really know. It could be either pushing or pulling. Now, they think they've disproved ether theory back in the 1900s, but, because of Einstein. Then I got a nice article from 1925 that Einstein says, I think we got to go back to ether theory. He couldn't figure out his other stuff. Of course, now, we like Einstein for something, but when he says that, we cut him off.
Right.
We listen to him.
Right. Yeah, they just pick and choose what suits their current opinion. But they really don't know. I mean, we don't know what light is, for crying out loud. What is light?
Well, we don't know what energy is, which is really strange.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
You know, well, you get into physics, because as you get into expanding Earth, when they want to shut you down, they say, well, you have to prove it by physics. Well, physics, it gets very complicated. But, what was I going to say? I lost my train of thought there, Charlie.
Oh, no, I hate when that happens. Well, you know, while you're trying to remember, let me bring this up. This just came to my mind recently. You know, we don't actually see light, do we?
Oh, yeah,
all
thank
we see
you.
Is...
Thank you. You brought me back.
Oh, okay. There we go. Well, I like when that works out that way.
You're sitting, you're holding a microphone or something in your hand, you're holding your desk, and you're calling that matter. So we know what matter is. It's common sense. Well, kind of, except we also know it's really porous with far apart atoms, so things can shoot right through it. So we
not only
know
far
what
apart
matter
atoms,
is.
But the atoms themselves are mostly
well,
made
we
of
don't
nothing.
Know what atoms themselves are. Even they talk about string theory in physics when you make it sound like it's a big chunk of atoms, but it's really micro particles. Much smaller than the subparts of atoms. And you go, whoa, so you're talking something even smaller than an atom. Now, when it comes to energy, you know, in E equal mc squared, well, energy is mass times the speed of light squared. Turns out that physicists don't really know what energy is. I mean, they know what energy is when you heat something up. But the baseline of what energy is, Richard Feynman, which is the key guru of simplified physics as well.
Yeah.
It was a nice phrase we used, but we really don't know what it is.
They know how to use it. They know how to, you know, make practical use of it, but they don't know what it is.
They know how to use it on the surface of the Earth at the temperature range we're used to, at the pressures we're used to. They don't know how to use it 25 miles down at pressures and temperatures we don't know about or understand. So they do know it in this narrow range, but then they talk about the center of the sun. The sun holds 1.3 million Earths, and they think it's hot, but nobody knows whether it's a plasma core or it's cold. It's hot on the surface. Is it cold 10 miles down? Nobody knows.
Well, we do know when they look at sunspots that, relatively speaking, sunspots are cold.
Colder.
Yeah.
I mean, right. 4,500 degrees or something. It ain't cold.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be there.
Well, compared to the rest, which is, what, 6,000, 7,000 degrees?
Yeah.
it's significantly cooler. Why?
So they don't
And when you
know,
look at the sunspots,
sure.
you're looking beneath the surface. So it's cooler beneath the surface.
Yeah.
And that, of course, contradicts the standard theory of any astronomical body, that the further in you go, you know, the heat will increase as you get closer toward the core, but that doesn't seem to be the case with the sun.
There is nothing that proves any of that except the theories probably tend to work for me. When you talk to these scientists, I went to one conference and they said the math you learned in high school would be like third grade math to us. We're so deep. And that's one of the problems is we've gotten away from common sense and common understanding. Many of these alternative science sites, you know, the scientists who say, that's BS. You've taken it into such deep math, nobody can understand what you're doing, and you just trust me.
Right, and so that separates the average person that doesn't understand the math into thinking, oh, I'll never figure it out, but they must have figured it out because I got all this complicated math, but it doesn't mean anything. You know, you could say that the moon is made of cheese, and then you can come up with the idea is, well, hey, look, it has holes like Swiss cheese, right? It's yellow like Swiss cheese. And that's what they're doing with the math. Not that math isn't a good thing, but if your initial premise is all off, just because you come up with formulas that seem to support it doesn't mean that it's a fact.
Right. And I've heard tell that the Big Bang Theory, only 12 people in the world are good enough to do the math.
Right.
Well, I'm not one of them, so I can't check that work. It's a black box to me.
Right. Okay, folks, stick with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you. Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. 9200.
Okay, guys, we're laying it on the line. Welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. Talking about all kinds of things, Earth expansion and quantum theory. Well, we haven't gotten to quantum yet, but we've been talking about the theory of everything. It's all tied in together. And, you know, unless you learn to think beyond what the establishment is telling you, you're shortchanging yourself. You really are. If you just accept it's not that everything they're telling us is garbage either, but if that's all you allow yourself to consider in your assessment of the world around you, of reality, then you're really limiting yourself tremendously. You know, over the years, Keith, if you looked at my library, you'd see that almost every book I have is alternative thought on every subject under the sun. And I always find that those books are much more rewarding.
I have, too. It is the same reason. You know, you just
expand your mind. And even if not everything is right in the book, it doesn't matter. It gets you to think. And they're just so much more interesting. It's like, yeah, geez, I never thought of that. That makes a lot more sense, you know. But you go along with mainstream, and it's stagnant, it's boring, and they really hem you in so that there's no room for, you know, thinking outside the box. It's terrible.
And pretty much they tell you there is only one truth. This is the truth. And you end up – know, even on the expanding Earth, what anybody who comes to it has to see, they've got to find some hook. And everybody you talk to has got a little bit different hook. You got to see something that makes you say, this just can't be like they're teaching me. And at that point, you can start spreading out because you start trusting yourself a little bit more. And then you read these alternatives. And as I said, you lay out the alternatives. Let's say the New England Patriots, a wonderful team. If you talk to some people, say, what are they going to do next week? Well, they're going to win. Well, there's an alternative. They could lose. Oh, I don't want to hear that. Well, there's a third alternative. You always look for, is there another alternative? Is there another alternative? And if you look for the big category that you can then hold there and think about, and the third category I think about would be, they're not going to play the game. Well, why aren't they going to play the game? Well, beats me, 20 different reasons could happen, most of them bad, that they wouldn't play the game. But you'd put 80% win, 19% lose, and 1%, they're not going to play the game. So you just hang on that and just put new facts to it for the rest of your life and just there to memorize it. You know, I always like what Einstein said about the situation. He said, when you ask people to find a needle in a haystack, most people will find a needle and stop, say, here it is. I'll go through the entire haystack, find all the needles, and then pick the best one. You go, what an interesting thought. The other thing he said, I think, and I get this one a little bit wrong, he says, Einstein, if you knew an asteroid was going to come and hit the Earth in 1 hour, what would you do to save the Earth? And he said, I'd spend 55 minutes figuring out all the issues, and 5 minutes then figuring out what to do, because the answer would probably be clear. And I think that's what happens with standard science. They pick one needle and stop. They get one thing and then come to a conclusion, and the asteroid's going to hit the Earth, and they're not going to come up with the right conclusion unless they look at all the options. Even when you get a team of people to list all the options, you're not going to get them all. You're always going to miss some. You're always going to be something surprising you. But that's why I always was one to list all the alternatives and then pick from them and never throw out an alternative. Leave it
right
there.
Keep the door open for anything, because you just never know, you know.
You just never know.
But that's the whole problem, is the mainstream anything, really, any field of study, it's all done for you. The thinking's already been done. No need to think.
Right.
Just accept and teach what we've been teaching all along, and you know, you'll have a job. It's very sad.
And to a great extent, if nothing goes wrong, who cares? But suppose something goes wrong. Suppose you're looking at the sky for an asteroid when you got super volcanoes building up in your feet and you're never thinking about it. Suppose something's going to go wrong. And I think something is going to go wrong. Do you ever get into pole shift theory?
Oh, yeah. That's a fact, actually. That even mainstream science doesn't argue that anymore.
But they don't know why. They don't know how,
yeah,
do they?
Yeah.
Well, here's an interesting fact. You know, you're familiar with Charles Hapgood's work.
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, and Hapgood thought it was, boy, we build up a nice enough ice on Antarctica, and it'll unweight the surface of the Earth.
And move the whole crust.
Well, prove there wasn't enough ice on Antarctica to do that. Okay?
All right.
Well,
there's a heck of a lot there now.
We'll talk, let me give you a billion-ton unit. Figure a billion tons, because you got to get rid of a bunch of zeros. A billion tons. That, you know, 1 billion tons. That's a billion ton unit. There are 2,820,000 billion ton units of ice on Antarctica. Okay?
Yeah.
Big number. If the Earth is growing and gaining mass 1 inch in radius per year, that's 7,874 billion tons a year of new mass. Well, it turns out that...
Tell you what, hold that thought. We've got to go another quick break. Be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Did you know that one goal of international communism was to get our young people's mind off religion by getting them onto sex? By destroying the morals of the younger generation, America would eventually become ripe for revolution without understanding why communism wanted to make young people soft and easily controlled. Have we witnessed this transformation of our young people away from God and the Bible to immorality? We'd like to help you understand how these things are coming to pass by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736 to request your subscription. Call now. Operators are standing by to receive your call.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept.
Keith Wilson on as our guest, talking about the expanding Earth theory. Again, I hate that word theory. I think it's a theory, but I think it's a fact. But anyway, yeah, you want to pick up? We were talking about Hapgood.
And I don't want to get into. Once you get into math or numbers, it truly gets boring, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does.
Okay, well, let's just say this: Hapgood found out, and Einstein said to him, because Einstein supported Hapgood.
Right.
There's not enough ice to do what you say. So Hapgood kept searching for, I need new mass to make this work. Okay, never found it, got killed, died. Never hear about much of him anymore. Okay. However, now we take, if the Earth is expanding with new mass, you can quickly figure out how much new mass is coming, how heavy it is compared to that ice. Turns out that the Earth, according to what I'm telling you, would be creating new mass equal to the amount of ice at Antarctica every 350 years. Okay? Now, that doesn't seem like much, except 12,000 years ago, something dramatic took us out of a deep ice age. And if you look at the Vostok cores or the Greenwich ice cores, you find that over the last half a million years, 95% of the time, we've been in an abysmal ice age that could not support anywhere near 6 billion people. and maybe 5% of the time we are in warm period like now. Now, surprisingly, in the last half a million years, 80% of the warm period has been in the last 12,000 years. You know, it's like this is an unusual warm period. What the heck has happened? It's not really understood why. Mm. It's not thought about. But if you take a look at 13,000 years ago, mass increasing every 350 years, it'd be 28 times more ice being accumulated, mass being accumulated somewhere on the Earth, and not symmetrically. All the expanding Earth theories show that we're expanding more in the southern hemisphere than in the northern hemisphere. So you got 28 Antarctic ice masses every 10, 12,000 years being distributed on this top in some way, and may they have an impact. Now, I don't know if they're going to have an impact. I'm perfectly happy to live in the nice lifestyle of, the warm climate we have now. But maybe they do. It's like, well, I'm glad nobody's watching, because if something happens, it's going to be an awful time period. Hmm. So that's another reason the expanding Earth, an insight into it, takes you into so many other fields that have been blocked off as the thought process. That's why I find it so fascinating.
Did you know that the ancient document Zend Avesta, which I guess is the holy book of, what is it, Zoroastrianism, it goes back to, I think, about 2000 B.C. Hmm. There's actually a statement in there that the Earth had expanded to one-third its size.
I've never heard that. That's interesting.
Fascinating. Yeah, very interesting. I found that out not too long ago.
Well, then you get into myths and legends, which you can't talk about because they can't be true.
Right.
Why can't they be true? I think there's just as many Einsteins and Newtons back then as now.
Right.
Whoever built
that's
the
another
pyramids.
Another prevailing myth is that the ancients were somehow far less intelligent than us, which is laughable because nobody contests the fact that the Greeks, the classical Greeks, were highly intelligent, and everything that they had discovered was lost and only somewhat recovered during the Renaissance.
Right.
So it's
They burned the Alexandria Library, and so much was lost.
Right.
They came up with the theory of the atom. How did the Greeks know the theory of the atom?
Yeah.
The Greeks knew that the Earth was a sphere, and they measured it to within 2% of its actual circumference. How the heck did they do that?
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are good.
Well, they were not ignoramuses. Well, the basis of modern geometry comes from ancient Greece. Mm-hmm. They invented it.
Yeah.
So it's not true, as you go further back in history, that man was decreasingly intelligent or increasingly less intelligent. That's another fairy tale. But in spite of that obvious fact, and of course you go back further than them, you got the Babylonians, the Sumerians, they were highly advanced, the Maya, the Olmec.
Well,
but still.
The one you listed, I'm not familiar with that, but the Indians from India, maybe they were the Zoroastrians. I don't know, but the Inriga or something like that. Again,
the Vedas, the Rig Vedas,
Rig Vedas. There you go.
Yeah, they were very advanced. Sure, absolutely. I'm sure you're probably familiar with the high tech references to flying aircraft and
right. It's hard to know what those were, but it's like they were talking about something.
Yeah. Well, they had a pretty vivid imagination, if that's fairy tale, because they described very detailed stuff that sounds like something out of a modern text,
Yeah, they did.
Smart bombs, in fact. Bombs that follow sound and heat. And you just can't invent that kind of stuff. It's too accurate. It's too detailed.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was one of the things I think I discovered, and I got a patent on it, had dealt with electromagnetic energy dealing with the expanding Earth. Why did I get I found some things when I was flipping the globe around, and it ended up dealing with electromagnetic energy, which got me more into Tesla's work, but got me into this whole sense of there's more power out there than we know about. So if you look at my website, if you go to Expanding Earth Knowledge, you just Google that, you'll find that I'm saying that, no, the continents aren't quite the same shape as they used to be. They've been changed. They've been altered. They've been squeezed and shaped and stretched into a slightly different form than they were 250 million years ago. And it was due to something happening from the sun and the solar plane. And I think I can end up explaining that, but I haven't gone that far yet, but I found some interesting things. But if you look at the great circle lines, you'll see too much of alignments are happening around the world, that it's just not free-flowing matter flowing around. It's got a pattern to it. And I find that interesting because it says electromagnetic energy. You know, electrical energy, magnetic energy, the two sides of the same coin. And electricity is one of those things that we live our life on. And one of the intriguing things that Tesla invented, he had 700 patents, probably the most creative genius we've known. And he gave us alternating current, he gave us the radio, he forecasted the internet, TV, but he spent most of his life working on the fact that he could provide free energy, free electricity, just by plugging into the ground at no cost with no wires. You know, and he apparently had the capability of visualizing things. We had some brain synapse wired differently than ours, and he could see things. And he could see electromagnetic energy, apparently. I'm speculating a little bit beyond known facts, but it certainly seemed that way. But he's just
he was a genius, no question. Yeah.
But again, so if any of your people are interested, electromagnetic energy. Tesla was onto something.
Oh,
something
absolutely.
Is happening in the universe, on the sun, aligning planet, maybe in distance, like with Bode's Law, and maybe altering the shapes of continents
along certain rules. The Russian government seized his papers. Obviously, you know, they've been suppressing a lot of his discoveries.
Yeah.
But, you know, I want to come back to Hapgood for a minute because he's one of the first persons that brought to the attention of the public these medieval maps, like the Piri Reis map, for example.
Yes.
Which shows that the ancients, far from being primitive and ignorant, and they were highly proficient in oceanography and geography, and you know, they had mapped the entire globe at some distant point. You know, the Piri Reis map, for example, was compiled in 1513. Mm-hmm. And the maps that he used, he was an admiral in the Turkish Navy. The documents he used, of course, are no longer with us, but we know the original documents that he must have used to compile that map must have been original, because he depicted on his map the whole coast of South America, the western coast of South America, the coast of Antarctica, which wasn't even known in his day.
Right. It's and probably just a lucky guess, though.
Yeah, right. And it depicts details of Antarctica without its ice cap. So this is going way back, and it shows features that we now know do exist underneath the ice. We only just became aware of them recently because of satellite technology, but, you know, mountain ranges and riverbeds that we know actually are there.
Yeah.
Now, how could the ancients have known this?
You know, I don't know. I know what you're talking about. I don't know. It's not perfect information, but it's damn good. It doesn't fit with the ice cores necessarily exactly, but son of a gun, there's something there. You know, but of course, as soon as Hapgood started talking about that, then he was ridiculed. You know, first you ignore a person, then you ridicule them with the main purpose of taking them out of the conversation because they're not good enough. So once he got into his maps, he lost more credibility. And you go, what a strange thing to do to another human being. Because it was a brilliant observation he came up with.
Right.
You know, may not be totally true. Who cares if it's totally true? Nobody, you know, if you look at Wagner, he's not been totally true. If you look at Darwin, he's not been totally correct. It's the seed that gets you into a whole new thought that's important, and then everybody else builds on it.
And even, I dare say, Einstein.
Einstein.
He wasn't infallible either.
No.
I know that's a heresy, but I mean, he wasn't a dummy. You know, he was obviously a very smart man. But I think even he had the humility to admit that he wasn't infallible.
No,
that he was constantly searching, and he wasn't giving laws that he wanted people to follow infallibly for all ages to come. You know, he was just giving an alternative idea, and he intended for people to expand on it, or maybe even trash it as something better came along. But no, they've deified him and made him into this saint of the cult.
Yeah,
you know.
I've heard, and it is sad when people don't want to believe in relativity because they want to believe in pushing gravity. Oftentimes they get pilloried as being anti-Semitic because they're saying something against Einstein.
Right.
What are we talking about? This is just talking science here.
Yeah.
And yet there's ridiculous. Always that need of some people to reduce the argument to the lowest possible common denominator so they can win. It's not a game of winning. This is a game of advancing the ball somehow.
Right.
You know, in your business, you've got to be doing forecasting all the time, guessing what's going to happen, figuring it out. You're forcing yourself to do mental experiments. And, you know, a lot of times you're wrong. But you learn from that. And you keep correcting and correcting. I don't think most scientists do enough mental experimentation where they have to place a bet on who's going to win this game or what's going to happen. You know, it's much safer not to place that bet.
Yeah, they know their parameters and they stay within them, and they know full well if they stepped outside, they're risking their job and their reputation, so they just play the game, and it's so sad. So they're not only hemming themselves in, allowing themselves to be hemmed in, but they're hemming everybody else in, their students and their readers who read their materials, and so there's really no progress.
No, and I don't think most students coming through, their minds are lost for 10 years anyway. You know, they've spent big money at the college, and they learned something, and they're pretty smart guys. But then you go, well, okay, wait 10 years, maybe we can have a talk. But who do you find is the most open-minded people? Because you've got a great breadth of overview on the subject.
Just people who don't have blind loyalties to any institution or any preconceived ideas, and they are out there. And I run into quite a few, in my listening audience, of course, this network, most of the listeners, if not all of them, have already come to that conclusion that, much of what we're taught is just garbage. And not just in science, we talk a lot of politics on here. I'm sure we're lied to. I think that goes without saying. You know, that old saying, how do you know when a politician's lying, his lips are moving? But that's true. But that's true in a lot of areas. It's not just politics that politicians that lie. Good heavens, religious leaders do it and have done it from time immemorial. The media today, unfortunately, for the most part, they're a bunch of liars and they're paid well to do it. They withhold a lot of information from us. And academia, unfortunately, it's for the same reason. A lot of them are under that tremendous amount of pressure. They have to conform. And, sometimes it's not sleazy politics. Sometimes it's just pride.
Yeah.
Can't admit they're wrong.
I agree with
you. So regardless what the motive is, the fact is there's a whole lot of lies being propagated out there by officialdom. And, in some cases, your very life depends on it not to trust these people, So the medical establishment does it.
Yes, they do.
And if you don't learn to take your own health in your own hands and you become the one to make the final decision, to trust your hands in the life of some of these people who only have profit in mind, your very life could be in danger.
I spent a number of years in the healthcare industry, and they're typically good people, but you better know more about the subject, than they do. And then you can get them to do good work. But if you just trust them, you're likely going to be in big trouble.
Yeah, we have to get beyond that point where we think that these people are the ultimate answers, the gurus, the ones we have to look up to because they have all the answers and we're just a bunch of ignorant peasants. That isn't true at all.
No.
They're not infallible.
No.
Very often they're quite fallible and their jobs depend on them being that way,
And I've often found that going back to the, who are the most open-minded, you listen to some women who go into doctors, and they know, the women know, housewives, I mean, just normal people, not doctors,
yeah.
not female doctors.
Yeah.
They're incredibly knowledgeable on mm-hmm. many different things. The information
yeah.
is out there. It's almost, you just need to grab a hold of it and go with it.
I'll never forget,
highly
I had a doctor.
Insightful.
Normal sure,
people
they
are highly insightful.
Well, most doctors, they don't have the time to read. They're not constantly, you know, filling their heads with new information and the latest discoveries. No. They only know what they were taught in school, and that's all they ever go by. And so they're very limited, you know. Mm-hmm. The average person has the option of broadening their horizons much more than most doctors do when it comes to health or any other subject, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're not limited by the journals and what the establishment requires them to believe, and... Yeah, it's amazing. Okay, we got another short break, folks. Stick with us. We got a few more minutes with our guests. Be right back.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305. Or hbextract.com.
Okay, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. Got just a few more minutes left here. We actually have a caller. I want to go to him in a second, but I just wanted to finish up my point before the break. I actually had a doctor years ago who smoked. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
As I'm walking in for my appointment, there he is outside having a cigarette break. I'm like so baffled. So, you know, later on I go in and I sit down. I'm like, hey, doc, you know, this is pretty ironic. I'm coming here to you to get health advice, and yet I just saw you smoking. I says, are you aware that smoking? that smoking is bad for your health. It's unbelievable. Most doctors really don't have, well, I mean, I'm sure they know smoking is bad, but they can't tell you how to take care of your health, most of them. They don't know themselves.
Yeah, they're just people, just like the rest of us.
Yeah. So, folks, you gotta do your own homework, your own research, because the experts, for the most part, they're not going to help you. Anyway, let's go to Mike real quick here in Illinois. You there, Mike?
Hello, enjoying the show. Join the show today.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. I just wanted to say that Einstein was proven wrong with his ether theory by a Michelson-Morley experiment. I don't know if you guys heard of that.
Yeah, well.
Pardon?
Well, in a sense, yes. But Michelson-Morley, I believe, were in the 1890s.
Right.
And there's some different things that says, well, that's not quite Michelson. Michelson-Morley is the documented test. But in 1925, Einstein says, we got to go back to the ether theory. And there are a couple of interesting alternative theories to what Michelson-Morley really found that may not be just like they are. And they're always good to read. So there are some good things that say, no, if you read it this way, it's this way, but we're finding that there could still be the ether. Now, I can't go in more into that. If you want it, if you emailed me, I could send you those articles.
Well, easier way to put it would be that the Earth is, there's no evidence that the Earth is actually spinning on its axis. It's standing still. And you guys mentioned before about this, that the Greeks knew that the Earth was round, but it's in the Bible. It describes the Earth as a sphere.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty common knowledge.
The Earth is a sphere, yeah. Did the Bible say anything about size changes?
The Earth changes. The polar shifts. It's just the flood, and they make the assumption that the sun was always shining the way it always has. When the Bible describes that there was a layer of water above the Earth before, and then when the flood came, that layer of water came down, and
that's another whole topic. But
pardon?
Yeah, Mike, you got some sound trouble there. You're feeding back.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier, like the Zend Avesta. It's fascinating. You know, a lot of ancient documents actually correlate with a lot of alternative science views today. Mainstream science is way behind the ball game here.
Yeah. I guess one of the main things that you can look at is if you get in an airplane and fly due east or west, and you know, it takes the same amount of time at a certain mile an hour, which kind of is evidence that the Earth isn't moving at all. It's standing still, you know.
Well, I don't know.
Michael, is there any last point? We're running out of time here, and we're getting a lot of
screaming. No, that's about it. Okay, appreciate
the show. Okay, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
But anyway, yeah, Keith, I want to thank you for coming on. You want to mention again real quick your website and anything else that people can go and check out? Maybe your email?
The name of the site is Expanding Earth Knowledge. Probably best to Google that, but it's EARTHK.com. Anybody's got a question, email me. I'll tell you what I know. I'll be as factual as possible.
And your email is linked off of the site?
Linked off the site.
Great. Okay, thanks again, Keith. Appreciate it. Take care, folks. I might not be here tomorrow. I'm not sure yet, but we'll definitely see you on Thursday with Neil Adams, another Earth expansionist. It'll be great stuff, fascinating. We'll see you then.
With recent